Town of Moreau Planning Board Meeting, Monday, October 18th, 2021, at 7 p.m.
I don't think Jeff set up the meeting.
Stage 1 and 2 for the highway work permit related to the project. We also initiated review with the LaBerge Group, the town's town designated engineer, on the stormwater pollution prevention plan that we'd submitted. And we left the meeting at that point, and you folks are kind enough to welcome me back to this one. What I hoped, the project hasn't progressed much further beyond where we were last month. To be frank, we did get the comment review letter back from Phil Kozel and LaBerge. I'm confident that I can satisfy all of his comments without design changes on the plan. As noted, not to get too technical, but in the pre-developed condition, there's zero discharge of water off the property, and we maintain that in the post-developed condition. And that holds in the SWIP. We do, as noted last meeting, Mr. Martin is going to reach out to a consulting engineer for review of our traffic impact assessment. That's happened. My client has paid the escrow, so we expect that review would be ongoing.
I expect it any time now.
Okay.
And just for the board's information, and this applies to another applicant as well, I reached out to Peter Faith. I think he is in the process of retirement.
That is correct.
So he did not respond back, and I can't blame him. So I reached out to Creighton Manning Engineering, and they provided proposals for both this review and the Hoffman's. So those are now underway. They gave me a price. The escrow has been started. So both reviews are underway. I expect a comment letter anytime. Matter of fact, I'll check in with Mark Nildoni. He's a contact for both of them.
Mm-hmm. I know Mark.
Yeah, I'll check in with Mark tomorrow and see what the status is.
As an aside, we would have recused. GPI wouldn't have, Peter Faith wouldn't have been able to do the review on our.
Well, that's correct.
Project. Whether he retired or not, Mike Wiskowski in our office is still available for your.
Okay.
For your other.
But anyhow, we got Craig Manning in place, and that review is underway.
But aside from that, I have had a couple conversations with Ken Davis. He's the review engineer for DOT on the project, and he's started to look at it, but he doesn't have any findings. My question to him was, if we're fortunate enough to have a public hearing and have the prospect of closing out a seeker, he assured me he'd be able to have a comment on the stage one at least. Which should be, substantive as far as the their feelings on the impact and significance of traffic. So, looking forward, what we're hoping to do is set the public hearing. We hope to do that in November if the board's amenable to that. And we hope that the board can resolve to take lead agent status in our seeker review. We do feel that we've covered. And we've provided enough project information that should allow you to and allow the public to make a determination of significance for all the impacts that are considered on the short form. And I think within the course of the next month, we should be able to close out and put a dot at the end of the period, on the end of the sentences, regarding any of the outstanding questions related to the environmental impact. So, I think that's where we stand today, looking to move ahead and hoping to have that public hearing set and hoping to initiate the seeker process with your team.
The reservation I have is in connection with the SWIP. There are a number of tests and analyses that the LaBerge wanted to accomplish.
Yes, okay, I can address those specifically.
The question is the timing. How can you get that done and LaBerge sign off within the next?
I'll have a response to Phil Kozel regardless. I actually do have a geotech. So we go out in the field and we base our initial SWIP investigation on holes that we can dig by hand. There's a certain depth we can go with the equipment available. There's only so big a hole we can open up in a paved parking lot. So we do the test at around the base of our infiltration practices. And that said, we are aware of the general makeup of the soil. We know that it's pretty consistent with depth. Now, backing up a little, that's a great basis for design. It is not enough to resolve the issues that Phil identified. That said, we do have a geotech report that's been finalized since the submission of the SWIP, and that'll be included as an appendix to our resubmission. They drilled numerous sites around for the design of the foundations, you know, the bedding for their tanks. They drilled the 22 feet deep on, I think, six locations on the site. They encountered homogeneous material to the full 22-foot depth. It's, you know, coarse, well-graded sand, and they did not encounter water at all in any of those tests. So I can address Phil's comments by providing that geotech report, and I'm confident. I mean, there's no other information for us yet, but you are correct. It wasn't included in that SWIP because it hadn't been completed yet, but it has been. So I can provide that with the update. And I'd like to see, you know, Phil had a comprehensive, very detailed review and comprehensive comments. As I said quickly, none of the comments changed the design. I've gone through the fine-tooth comb. He does have some legitimate questions, and there are, and like the one you brought up, which is the largest concern, because that's something that could impact the design. But we're confident we're good on that front now. You know, he did have a couple comments in there that alluded to us having not completed the analysis for greater than the one-year storm event. I'm not sure which. I tried to get him on the phone about it. I'm not sure which document he was reviewing, but in accordance with DEC's guidelines, we do the 110 and the 100, and that analysis was in that report. So, you know, those were kind of the big things in there, and I'm confident that with a response letter and a little bit of fine tuning on our document, we should be good to go.
Okay, board, any other? You heard a request from the applicant. You want to acquiesce or don't know? You want all information before you schedule anything else? What you got? Pleasure, it's your call.
Well, it was two requests, correct, right, to act as lead agency?
Yes.
Okay. And to schedule a public hearing, correct?
That's what that's correct, asking. Yes. That's the next step in the process.
Yep.
Right. So the two things that are pending at this point would be the traffic study review, as well as the turnaround on the SWIP comments. How likely is it that the traffic study review will be done?
I think it's very likely that it'll be done before your meeting. How much prior to that? A week, 10 days? I don't know that, but I'm very confident that it should be done before the next meeting. Hopefully in time that we can get the report back and get it out to each of you so you have some meaningful time to review it, you know, before the meeting.
Well, that
I don't have a specific date.
The impact assessment has been completed, and that's available to your team and the public to review. I'd love to see what Mark has to say about the traffic study. It's not something I prepared, so I'm vague. I think it's solid. But that said, you know, if at the next meeting, it might mean that the public hearing has commenced, but a decision isn't made. If more information is needed or comes to light, I mean, if I'm going to come to the meeting anyway, I you know, prefer to make some progress forward. You know,
I think the public would be very interested on the traffic study. They may not be so much interested in the SWIP because that's not
sure
to get their heads around traffic on is something that they
would. I'm certain people are concerned about it. The traffic study is available to the public, isn't it?
Yes.
The review might not be.
Yeah, well, the review's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen any of the review yet. We started it, but I don't know what the date is to the completion. You've had it for a couple of weeks now. It typically doesn't take more than 3 weeks.
So if we have a public hearing and DOT has a significant comment, like hypothetically no left turns, that's a site design change. Would we have to start over? Or?
No, you wouldn't start over. We just have to have the plan amended to meet DOT's comment. Because that's authoritative. I mean, that's final. You have to do what DOT wants. It's their role.
Well, I mean, you know, moving forward at this point, you know, it's our ambition and hope to collect as many of the comments and the binding comments that we can. You know, the public's input is important too. Obviously, not just you know, not just to do it, but, you know, we are interested in being good neighbors and adapting our plan as appropriate. So,
of the two, the secret process, I think, is pretty safe to start that. I don't think there's any, you know, concern over that. Up and down Route 9, every involved agency has always consented to the planning board being the lead agent, but we need to go through the process nonetheless. So I think it's pretty safe to start that. On the public hearing, that's more your discretion. That's up to you guys.
Okay, board, what do you want to
do? I'll make a motion to declare the town rural planning board as lead agent.
Motion has been made for the planning board of town rural to assume the role of lead agency for the environmental review. I'm an assessor right here for Troy to the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Ms. Matias?
Yes.
Mr. Siebel?
Yes.
Mr. Denson.
Aye. So I have 7 in the affirmative. Motion carries.
So I, in that regard, I have DOT as a involved agency. We don't have Department of Health here. Saratoga County we can do.
We don't need the school for this one.
No.
Okay.
DEC.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a SWIP permit, so we'll do DEC.
DEC.
Well, I have 3 so far: DOT, DEC, and Saratoga County.
And how many others? 4. Okay.
I did.
I'm going to put you through the agony. We don't need a motion on that.
No, I just want to make sure we're all in agreement, so I'll send out the letter tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Board, what else would you like to do, 2 or 4 of this applicant?
My opinion is that I feel like we should go ahead and schedule a public hearing to at least get the process rolling. There is a, to the essence point, it's not many things that have to necessarily close out.
Is that a motion?
Well, that's what I'm working.
Okay.
Gary develops my
ass. I have to think my thoughts into it. I will make a motion to set a public hearing for the
701 slot is open.
Yes, I know. I want to get the name right. The All Town Fresh Market for November 15th. Is that the date?
Yes.
At 7:01 p.m.
I'll second that motion.
Motion's been made. Do I have a second? I think I heard it.
Yes, I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, call the roll, please.
Mr. Arnold?
Aye.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Aye.
Ms. Matias?
Yes.
Mr. Siebel?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Aye. I have 7 affirmative, no negative, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Motion carries.
Does anyone at the board have any further questions? Is there anything?
No, that's up to you.
I have nothing new to report versus last month, and I think we covered the bases earlier, so I guess I'm good to go. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next one I have.
What's that? Yeah, I know. We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. I got more of these things. That's the pressure I get from that, because the issues are long. There's a huge lead on fuel dumps right now, and they won't make the order until they have an approval. So right now, they're like, they hope to have it before, so, you know, it's a nearer here and we take to get them.
I think we do. Go ahead, tell us a story.
So they're like breathing down my neck. I don't want to start with a spring as many times.
Wait, no Travis tonight?
No Travis. Just complain.
You gave him the night off?
I gave him the night off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like he works here every week, so. I feel like we've addressed a lot of the scope of the project that I use Travis' expertise for, so.
We just need your name for the record.
Michael Cucciera, next name.
Tell us the story.
All right, so I think the story is, we have received feedback from LaVerge regarding the decommissioning plan. So there are two comments for the board's review and further comment and discussion. It did note in that response letter that we received the sign-off from New York State Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation as to no impact on the site. So I think tonight, at this point, the board has closed the public hearing, issued secret neg deck. I think I would be seeking a vote for approval of the project for the site plan, hoping that we can finalize any discussions and get going on that.
So what was the outcome of the decommissioning plan with the town?
So they did not have me on the board meeting last week. They did discuss it, and it seems like the supervisor was sort of warming the board up, but they asked us not to come. We were planning on coming. They said they had not reviewed all the decommissioning. We had three things in front of them, the pilot decommissioning and the easement that's going to be required to access the site. So perhaps just because there's a couple documents, three documents there to review, they have not done so. So I need to get back to them and try and get on to the next meeting. We've been trying, it just hasn't happened yet.
Well, it seems that there are two major issues outstanding. One is we need to have that legal agreement on the decommissioning plan. I think the purchase, you know, settled out the technicalities and such. But it ought to be encompassed in the context of the legally binding agreement that the town finds satisfactory. And I would see that as being something we would need to see before we could approve the site plan. Similarly, and connected with that, the second issue is the nature of the security that will be posted by your company in order to ensure that that agreement has financial backing to accomplish that. Because the LLC is really just a shell. So I see those as being two items that have to be addressed and go hand in hand before we approve the plan. And hopefully the town will be getting with you and working out those kinds of details.
Right. Understood. I guess my request would be, if that is the position, I understand that you want to have that in place. It is the town board decision. Is there a potential for a conditioned approval on that matter? I mean, I think the decommissioning plan is pretty much there. I think really the comments back that I read from LaVerge was that they thought the board may find it acceptable as far as the salvage value of modules and any remaining, you know, broken modules or such at the end at decommissioning. That seemed pretty simple to resolve. I'm happy to discuss that in detail. The form of surety, I mean, to me, is a town decision. We can do either one. It is our preference to do a bond and maybe find some other trigger. You know, should that be revoked, you take out the, you know, I think it's a conversation for the town. I think I want to present to them, you know, the backing of the insurer that we have, their history, their rating. I think I can persuade them. But for me, I think the planning board has done their review. And I won't be able to build this without that. So it's to save us.
Yeah, I guess I see this as really an integral part of the site plan review and then the planning board's purview. Mm-hmm. It's not something we just kick over to the town.
Mm-hmm.
I think, at least for us anyhow, also the access road and the easement over that, it's, and it's not anything to your, what you did, but it's just a process that we're going through that's rather unique. We already own the ground that you're passing over. Mm-hmm. Typically, you know, what we're used to seeing is the road is dedicated, you know, to the town. We have, you know, a set dedication process that we take applicants through. When we get to the end of that, you turn it in, highway superintendent sign off, we're done. This year is unique and different in that we already own the ground, and you're proposing a right of passage over it with some improvement, gravel, you know, that kind of thing. So, that's not what we're used to. And that is yet another item that the town board, only the town board can accept that. I spoke to Carla about this, our attorney, and that's what she told me. And she's putting together, I guess, an agreement to effectuate that easement, but I don't know where it's at specifically. And I think she had to get input from the highway superintendent, so on and so forth. So that could yet be another site plan, you know, type of issue that, again, I don't forecast any fatal flaws or anything, but it's just not completed yet. And there is some chance there could be some variation in what the town board asked for, you know, just for your. And so I just don't know where that's at specifically and what the specific outcome will be. It's an unknown at this point. I think within a small range, but yet, you know, there's some variables there that, you know, we just don't know yet specifically.
So basically, we're in limbo.
Yeah, and in fairness to us, this is our first solar project. You know, we're not used to going through a decommissioning plan, and it's been kind of awkward as a chicken and egg. Can the planning board act? Does the town board have to act first? And then the planning board act? You know, we're feeling our way on that, and I'm not saying we're smooth with it yet. And you're kind of like the first test case.
No.
And so that's just the nature of the beast.
Can I ask a question? This may be just my devil's advocate here. What the decommissioning plan? I was wanted to ask the question. I think 2 months ago, why decommissioning plan? Any other project we propose, we don't ask them what are you going to do if it, you know, when you're done with this building, kind of thing. And it was explained, and I understand that. Okay, it seems like the decommissioning plan is not in our hands. All right, the town board will approve it or not approve it. Okay. So I guess I have to ask, the only reason I could see delaying and not doing some type of approval in lieu of, okay, would be if the decommissioning plan is written or changed in a way that changes the design or parameters of the present project. Okay, is that what we're concerned with? Because myself, I just need to know that decommissioning plan is going to be in place.
And
because if the town locates a decommissioning plan that comes to us and we don't like it, I'm not sure we can not okay it, right? I mean, the town is going to decide what that's going to be. So I guess I'm asking you and I'm asking you, if the decommissioning plan moves forward where it is and there is a discrepancy, is that going to change the design of, or is it going to be something that changes the design or requires a change of the design, or is it something that just... you either do it this way or the project just can't move forward? And if it's that, then I can't see why we can't do a contingent approval where it waits for the town board to okay that. Now, the road issue, that's a different thing. Okay.
Quite frankly, in my opinion, I think from a design standpoint, site plan standpoint, the road issue it's more of a physical question than a decommissioning plan, let's put it that way.
Well, and I got to say this. I'm going to ask you this because it's been a couple months and I still haven't gotten an affirmative answer on this. Do we have an approval from National Grid to cross there right away?
We are a month into that process. We had to come back and we had submitted back in the summer, had to resubmit in September.
Because of the
movement.
So the answer is no.
Answer is no.
But obviously, you're not going to build this until you have their right of way either. So that should also be a contingent on the plan, is that you need that
correct
right of way.
Yep. Yep, that's right. And it's in line with that easement area. I mean, I think really where we're landing, if the town did not agree, we would have to come back and sort of, you know, amend any site plan if we had to move somewhere else to access the site.
That's true.
You know, so really it's... That's why I thought these could be conditioned, since they're in the town board's hands. Nothing in the decommissioning, that's really just a matter of what's going to cost them 25 years to remove the system. It's dollars and cents, how do you want the surety? Nothing's going to change the design, whichever way that goes.
Well, I have to say this, as a planning board member looking forward 25 years.
Yep.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable being a party to making that decision anyways, because I'm not sure that anything you say today or the town agrees on today is going to necessarily work effectively 25 years from now on decommissioning these dams. Now, it may be my advancing age where I expect to be sitting reading about it in the paper and not being active. But the point is that I guess, and I'm going to aim this right at the end, and I totally respect your position on this. What are you looking for in the plan that you feel that we need to be looking for?
I think we need something along the lines that has been proposed. And I'm not saying they come back with something that's been tweaked, but I think that from a planning board standpoint, we need to look at what's been handed to us and say, from a reasonable perspective, this protects the town and the community from a zombie solar field being created. And I don't think we would get into an argument with the town board unless the town board said, oh, we don't care at all. Our friends, we don't need security. We'll do business with a shell company that is making a promise that may not be financially enforceable.
Right. And I'd say, from a layman's term looking at it, that's the part that makes me uncomfortable, is a lot of these are, well, the solar panels will be removed if they stop generating electricity for a period of time or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of these that are being proposed, and yours I don't believe is the case, but I'm seeing that they're like rentals. We're going to rent the land. Okay, we're going to put solar panels on, they hook up to the power lines, and off we go. And I do know that these change hands. The developer is not necessarily going to be the owner. The owner may not even be aware of what they own in the future. It could be an investment firm somewhere or a company that buys it to cover their green footprint kind of thing. All right. My concern is somewhere along the line, somebody drops the ball, stops paying the rent, solar panels are still paying, they're still producing electricity, the last company to own it disappears or goes bankrupt, and these panels are just sitting there. All right. And as long as they're producing energy, all right, for more than this much a year or whatever, they still remain, and you could have the zombie field. And I can understand where that could be an issue.
Sure. I don't think anything else that gets built in the town.
Well, and that's, you know, kind of my question is we don't, when somebody's proposing a business, they're going to build
But if you put a structure on Route 9,
a commercial development,
and you don't take care of it, and it falls into disrepair, which has never happened in this town.
We can cut the ways, right?
I don't understand how that is, how this project is any different in that matter than anything else that is proposed to be constructed in the town. Anything has the possibility of being abandoned and left to in a zombie space.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with you. And then my concern is just that there's something actionable on our part once this plan has been ironed out between you and the town. There's something that we may have to change or do different. I don't want to approve something that we then have to come back through and revise and redo, because then you're just wasting your money and time and our time.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I respond quickly?
Of course.
We've been in business since 2007. We've done hundreds of these types of pilots, very similar bonding. In fact, the bonding that I've done dozens of communities across the state, which has been approved. Yes, it is a project-level LLC. I'm sure the previous applicant has an LLC. It's not the owner. It's really not the shell company. Yes, what is included in that LLC are the assets on the ground, the equipment that's there. That is the value of the system. But NextAmp is unlike those other developers you are talking about. Our business plan and strategy is to own these long term. So really, once we get into construction, that project is maintained by our own operations and maintenance team and asset management team, who becomes that point of contact throughout the life. So, you know, certainly I think I can address those fears of us leaving and going to some other bank. The other thing is, I think the decommissioning plan, I think, stems from perhaps a link to sort of telecommunication towers, solar panels, fields, where there is a life expectancy, right? Not like a restaurant that can go on for maybe 50 years with updates. This project, at some point, will end and have a useful life end, right? So you need to have a plan for that. So I get that to a degree. But this is really a second-level protection. We have a lease with the landowner. That landowner also has, we have decommissioning language in there. So that's one level, you know, presumably they would want us off the land if we're not paying the rent, right? Someone goes, the company goes bankrupt, they're not getting rent, they don't want us there. So that's the first level. It's really, if that does not work, this is sort of a second backup. So we have a responsibility to decommission.
Then you have a bond with that landowner.
I'm sorry?
Do you have a bond with that landowner?
We don't, because typically what we do is bond with the town, the way it's gone. I think if that wasn't sort of the precedent set in New York, we likely would have a bond with landowners. Many do ask for it, and typically the way I work with them, sometimes even within the language of the lease, is that if the municipal authority having jurisdiction does not require a decommissioning bond, we would do one with them. So that's sometimes in play. In this case, we don't.
So who holds this bond?
The bond would be, the town would be the obligee. Forget the title.
Beneficiary.
Yeah, you would be the beneficiary and be able to call upon that. So the town of Monroe would be the beneficiary. The project company would be the payee or the obligee. Or sorry, I'm getting my terms incorrect.
Okay, but who holds the bond?
Philadelphia Insurance Company. So
it's
they
an
have
insured bond.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I need. That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I tend to lean with Jerry on this, and I guess I'm not, that's my personal take on this, is 25 years from now is a long way. I can see how you can insure liability and you can insure that bond. I can see that makes sense to me. Okay. Myself, I don't know that I'm in a position to judge it, but if, obviously if the town board approves it, I'm okay with it. So I guess that's what my position is on it. Because they're the ones, in the end, that are going to be liable for this.
Mm-hmm. John, as Michael pointed out, there is precedent for this type of arrangement.
Yes.
So the decommissioning plan is part of a legal agreement with the town, supported by an adequate bond.
Yeah, and it's not just in the solar issue. There's other things that we have
so
to decommission.
So there's a reason
to
have
so.
That. Right. And again, I don't think that we have to fly spec what the town does.
Well,
I'd like to see that substantially it meets those types of criteria.
Right.
That plan will be implemented and is financially secure.
Yeah, which I don't at all disagree with that. That is, you know, I don't know how to evaluate the decommissioning cost of a solar field. We're depending on expertise of others for that. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that maybe I can. You mentioned earlier, and I agree that how it's any different from like a commercial building, but at least with a commercial building, you have a solid asset. Okay? Whereas when you mentioned telecommunication towers, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, so yeah, now I'm getting to see this because these solar panels really in 25 years are a cost. There's a cost incurred to have to deal with it.
Sure. They will last up to 25. We actually have warranties up to 25 years. So 25 years is sort of minimum.
Well, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're garbage in 25 years.
Yep.
What I'm saying is effective use, you know, at a certain point, they start losing their efficacy.
For each panel.
And
they can be replaced.
Yeah, they can also have
so
enhanced.
And I think the other consideration with that is not a static technology either. I mean,
right.
5 years from now, you know, these things could be
upgraded to
inefficient.
Or upgraded to better.
Correct.
Re-racked with something that's much better than what's
right.
already there.
Yeah, that's already occurred. I mean, you know the industry obviously much better than I do. But yeah, no, it has. It would have to be a major change for us to totally refit the project, but potentially in that 25 year, at the sort of towards the end of that, there could be something there that we want to update within the same footprint, but probably not in five.
I think we need to explain to this applicant that this is new and uncharted waters for us. We're trying to wrap our heads around what's going on, so we're going to pick on you like crazy so we can understand it.
Sure.
So, that's where we see it. Board, what do you want to do? Silence is done.
I think we do have it down to two outstanding issues, whether they rise to the point of the tabling or you can see your way clear to a conditioned approval, that's up to you. But as I see it, the two issues are the decommissioning plan and the access road, the easements from both National Grid and the town.
So, Jim, can you run this by me one more time? Because I may have been blinded by trying to wrap my head around the decommissioning plan hold up and didn't really understand the whole town road issue. What is the issue with the access road now?
The issue with the access road is you've all heard of paper streets.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this is what we have here. Electric Drive is a paper street. And that's basically a slang term to say that the street has been planned for, and the dedication of that ground for that right-of-way has been provided to the town.
So the town already owns the right-of-way for that?
Yes, we own the land.
But no work has been done.
There's no improvements whatsoever.
Okay.
So, but yet, in addition to this property owner, there are property owners on either side of that road that could potentially need that paper street for their access. We almost ran into that with this, in this case specifically with the what's the other pending thing there with the Alchar
or
Biochar, I'm sorry, All Town Fresh Biochar. but they are accessing directly to the main road in the industrial park. They're at the corner of Electric Drive and
Farnham,
yes. So they are accessing directly to Farnham. But there are other lots that could potentially need driveway access through that paper street, Electric Drive. What this applicant is proposing is not to make the entire improvement to the right-of-way. They're going to put down a base of gravel sufficient to meet their need, which is basically infrequent access for maintenance vehicles, to and from Farnham Road to their front gate.
So a gravel base.
Right. And what I suggested to Carlo was, just last week, I said, I suggest this be run by the highway superintendent and that the level of improvement be like that first level of improvement, if you will. In other words, put down the base course of gravel,
right,
sub-base, maybe that's sufficient for your needs. One lane's worth or 14 feet in width, not the entire 50 or 60 feet that's needed for the entire two travel lanes.
It would be nice if they're going to improve it, that they improve it in a way that actually benefits the town.
The improvement that's made is like the first step towards, a full right-of-way being.
I thought that's what you see. The way you were saying it started to come out, if it's just an encumbrance, that must be something you wanted to do with the road would be a problem in the future if we wanted.
Well, no, what it's going to come to is the applicant going to accept that cost to make that, although it's just their driveway, they do it in such a manner that it is that first step towards this becoming a road someday.
Is this something that you've been okay with, or trying to just assure the town that you're okay with doing that, or is it something where there's a contention about how much you need to do or whatever?
We haven't even gotten that far. In fact, Jim, I think a lot of that is first on hearing of what the town might want. We're open to those conversations. We're open to saying, here's our typical.
Yeah, rather than, you might be sitting here thinking, I only have to do 10 feet of a 3-inch gravel base,
yep,
and the town may come back and say, no, we want 12 feet of a 6-inch gravel base.
That's going to be a fall call, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what my recommendation would be.
Yeah,
he's the highway superintendent.
The problem being that the applicant isn't responsible for the road.
No.
That's supposed to be there. To the same degree, the town, if you don't get the approval from the town for the road, then you don't have access to your property.
Well, there's obviously going to be also,
kind of sucks too.
In addition to the physical improvement, I'm sure the town's going to ask for a whole harmless, you know, no liability in the event.
Yeah, of course.
You know, one of your workers on the way down that driveway somehow gets hurt.
Yep.
You know, something happens, whatever, equipment breaks. We're not liable for.
Well, as
for
long as
happens.
They're the only ones using it.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, we would be seeking, though, a non-exclusive easement. We'd want the right to build, construct, and maintain that road, so as long as no one
sure.
else needs to build it. But it would not be like we're taking this away from the town. We just want to be able to use it for our purposes,
yeah,
and as other uses right. come in, it's that base layer, like you were saying. I think that makes total sense.
I think all we'd be looking for is that you know this is a first step towards making it a road. It's
yep.
not going to be a complete, full depth, full improved road, but do it in such a manner that
right.
we're taking the first step.
Path gravel, so it's
yes.
in the basement.
Yep.
So essentially, the highway department approval of the scope of improvement.
Correct.
That the applicant
intended
to do the electric.
And then the legal concern that would have to pass muster with Carla is the idea of liability and all that.
Sure.
You know, that there's no liability assigned to the town.
It's not like we're just saying, hey, go ahead and do what you're going to do, but we didn't know you did it. We backed it. Okay.
Is this something you would recommend me reaching out to the highway superintendent about?
No, I would continue to work because you're only going to confuse things.
Yeah.
Just work exclusively through Carla
yep.
and let her be the point of contact and then the town.
Okay. Yeah, because we have you know, our road detail in there too, and so hopefully you know it's not just 3 inches.
Oh, no, you have.
So
I'm not saying
you should be clear of what we want to do and then
yes,
tell us.
It's very clear what you want to do now.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable
right.
to the highway superintendent and to the town? And if that's the case, then we can, you know, get past that and the liability issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got the basis for an easement, you know, an easement agreement.
Okay.
That's logical. Instead of you doing some work and then later the town has to come in and tear it out to do what they need to do.
Right.
So.
Hey, Lord, what you playing? What do you want to do?
Just need to get. This is the original. Request was for preliminary approval
mm-hmm.
of the site plan.
Conditional approval.
Yep.
Conditional upon those items that we've been discussing.
Right. Okay. I'll make a motion for preliminary approval.
Conditional?
Yes, approval. Of the site plan with the following condition.
Okay, that's fine.
Is that town board and highway department approval of the scope of the applicant's improvements to electric drive. Two, that the applicant obtain an easement from National Grid. And three, that the town board approves the decommissioning plan.
So what was number two?
They obtain an easement from National Grid.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that doesn't bother me. Those are the three things I see. Probably be enough.
Motion has been made to grant conditional approval to Raider Falls Solar LLC with certain conditions. And that is that the town and corporation with the applicant and necessary highway improvement design is acceptable, that there is a in-place National Grid easement for crossing their lanes, and a legal approval of the decommissioning plan. To the motion, we have a second.
I'll second that.
John. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
And that was for preliminary, correct?
For preliminary. And would you like to amend that to say planning board and town board?
Well, I think that
review of the decommissioning plan.
I think the concept of a conditional preliminary approval is premature. I think that if they can come back
with these things in line, then we might do preliminary and final the same night. So trying to sketch out these things in a motion, I think, is maybe just...
I hate to burst your bubble.
Yeah.
But we don't have a preliminary approval on the second night. It's either A or A. Preliminary approval from then to subdivisions.
Right. So this is conditional file approval.
It's just a conditional approval.
Yeah, so I was asking, I didn't think.
Yeah, so it doesn't.
So this is approval.
No.
So that doesn't.
No.
So I think we need to table it until.
Well, we have a motion on the floor to grant preliminary approval. Now we're into the discussion on that motion. Is there anything further? As far as discussion is concerned. If there is not, then would you call roll, please?
Mr. Arnold?
No.
Ms. Perdue?
No.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Siebel?
No.
Mr. Jensen?
I will go nay. I have, Madam Secretary, I have 4 negative, 2 positive, and 1 abstention.
1
abstention. Abstentions. 1. Okay. Almost all. Motion defeated. More preferred than you want to do 2 or 4 this afternoon. You want to say that?
Well, we get that stuff.
Yeah, so you don't
take any other
action, right?
No.
So, yes, please.
Are we able to come back and know we got a no vote?
Well,
yeah,
of
course.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you've got a project that people like to see happen.
Yeah.
Like to see these things
sure.
come together so that it happens.
They just didn't like some of the conditions.
Appreciate it. No, I think the issue is there's two big outstanding issues. The easements over the the town land and the national grid, I see that as one issue there. And then the second is the easement issue. Yeah. If you come back with those, I think you're gonna.
And to explain mine, I actually was mistaken and thought that we could get a look at that before we get final approval. I would like to see the decommissioning plan. I don't know that I'm qualified to make determinations on it, but I would like to see it.
Sure.
So, make it a really good one, interesting one. No
pictures. And I think the other thing I need to say again is, from the town's perspective, although you have your application in, and when you get, your decision, you'll be gone and off doing your project, we have to live with our decisions as precedent.
Sure.
Yep. And so the next... solar applicant that comes along, and I'm sure there will be one, at least, we need to look to that precedent and making sure that we're undertaking a procedure that's universally applicable in light of those future applications as well.
Sure.
No.
I'd like to say that I'm really happy that yours is the first one that's recently, because we had one before. We had one already.
Well, no, we're looking about this. It's a lot larger than
nothing. An industrial park that we just had developed, okay? But it's nice that it's your project because it's one that's already in a zone that's allowed.
Right.
And it's a location in the industrial park that's not really conducive to other industry anyway. So, I mean, it's a really ideal thing. So it tortures me that this keeps, month after month. I think this is my second month of trying to just wrap it up because it's but hopefully we can get all those pieces together.
So I can notify the planning board once we have town board approval. I'll be trying to get on their agenda as soon as I can.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
We'll try to pick any next one. Okay. Next thing I have on the agenda for this evening is an added item for a general contractor. We have one of those.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, because you're the last item under old business.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
I'm doing fine tonight so far.
I gave them 11 by 17, Gary, what you emailed me. So.
This one they might be able to read.
All right, full size for.
Carlos has your finger to.
No. I'll let you do it. She signed off on the language in an email to me this afternoon. Or I should say to the applicant, in terms of, and I was copying it.
Okay.
So as my understanding is, we have the attorney's review and approval of the shared driveway maintenance agreement, which I gave you a copy of tonight, because this just came in. And then the declaration is to go in the deed for the property that describes the boundary of the pond and the limits, you know, thereon.
Right. And that's once we get approval, all of them will get all of them.
So what's going to happen is this language, the proposed deed language that's in this document, will go right into the deed itself, and that'll be, this language will be recorded when the deed's recorded.
Okay. Board, any questions? Any further questions for this applicant?
The deed will be recorded at the same time the plan is recorded?
Correct.
Okay. With the Schedule A survey?
Yes. And what happens is, you know, when they go to file the plat, that's when the deeds are developed and recorded for each individual lot, creating the lots and creating the parcels on the map as well.
Do you know how soon you have the survey done?
As soon as we have this, it's already been scheduled. Hopefully, they're going to do it this week. We're using menus and CDs. We've already marked a lot before we owned it. So they've been scheduled
I'm reading through this, and I've read through it three times now. Okay? And I'm not seeing anything that allows access to maintain this pot, for this stormwater retention facility, or whatever you want to call this. This is obviously not ideal anyways, but I've asked like three or four times, is there going to be some way or some restriction that says that lot three has to allow somebody to get in there if maintenance needs to be done? And I see nothing on here other than protection of not doing anything adverse to the pond, which is great, but I see no way to access it. And I don't understand. So in the future, all of a sudden, there's a problem and this pond blocks up and starts back flooding into other people's lots and all because of the drainage coming out of this development, all right, which wrongly or rightfully goes through this pond and through a ditch out to the culvert on 197. There's no deeded access way to this in this deed restriction that I can see. So I appreciate that Carla's signed off on it, and if she's okay with that, I mean, I can take her advice, but as a member of this board, it's kind of my due diligence to make sure that certain things are in place. Like I said, I've had reservations numerous times when this project or this piece of land has had other lots taken off of it, that we have this natural amenity that's acting as a stormwater drain for this development that isn't attached to a covenant in any way to this development. All right, now it's going to be attached to lot number three, with no way to maintain it. And we've actually, in the deed restriction, told the member or the person that owns lot number three that they're not allowed to do anything with it. They can't touch it.
Or alter. We're saying that they can't alter it from taking the stormwater, getting the stormwater out. Right.
Okay, but if it fails or if something doesn't work with it,
right,
they're not allowed to do anything with it, and nobody has access to it. At least not deeded access to it.
Okay.
So Carla's okay with that?
I don't know that she was tasked with that specific. She was asked to look at the covenant to protect the pond. She did that.
We did. When you and I met with her, we did talk to her about that.
The access.
Yeah, about access. Because there's no access to the other piece that comes down from the lot above. Or I'm sure that if something happened, people would be allowed to go on and fix it. But there's no access in the one above. But we did talk to her about that. And I'm just thinking that that's what she put in there. That's what she thought when she did that.
It's not any other clarification on it. And John's absolutely right. Because if something does happen, then, now... I mean, we just got done talking about a road, access and everything. Now we're talking about time. It's the same thing. So somebody's going to need some access to get in there to do whatever repair needs to be done. So
we don't know who the someone is. We did talk about that with Carl today.
Well, I think that the preference on the someone was not to leave that purposely not undefined. But there can be a provision for an easement for access for maintenance. It can be in the maintenance easement, and that's it. It doesn't have to be the benefit of anybody, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney.
I'm just going to say this. My frustration is I like this project. I really do. I just want to move it forward. But I need to know that this one particular thing is...
But the thing is, the way you got this set up here, you're going to have the easement. It's going to have to come all the way across the driveway and up through the lot to the pond. Or across lot four somehow. But I don't think you'd want to do that. So you'd want to use the shared driveway that has an easement over it for access and maintenance to the pond. all the way across lot 3.
Shared, isn't a portion of that shared driveway, though, lot 3's anyways?
Yes.
So technically it needs to have an easement. Yeah. The deed to lot 3, it says that they have the lot for access.
Yeah, lot 3 has, they're one of the flag lots.
Yeah.
So they have property to
access. And I think they're one of the flag lots that's where... Yeah.
I was going to say, you're going to have access, you have to have a right of access in from the driveway then to that, right. Into that for maintenance.
Yeah. Across so lots. Condo overflow, you can't get in through?
No,
it's not by breaking the way.
You can
get
walk
a culvert in the road.
But you can't.
You can't get a machine in through.
No, you can walk it through there.
I mean, the condo overflow, I'm not going to be. If anything, the thing is going to be made.
Oh,
okay. Even clear.
All right. And has been right. In the past. So.
Who did it in the past?
I don't think the ponds.
Huh?
Who did it in the past?
Gardner did it in the past.
Okay.
And he blamed it on the culvert on 197, but he had to clear that ditch, yeah. And it was because one of the landowners on either side of the ditch had filled it with stuff, had dumped stuff in the ditch.
Oh, okay.
And he just went in and cleaned it out, and it started draining again. Okay. But I'm sorry, because it's not even you. It's not your project that's the problem here. The problem is this was left as, it's okay because it's on lands remaining. When we did the other Gray Fox Drive lots, and I asked for it to have access to Gray Fox Drive. And
Jeff, we don't have a problem putting anything on it. But we went to the attorneys, we met with Carla, we went over this stuff, this is what we got.
Well, I think that the remaining question is, can we get an access easement for maintenance across lot 3?
Of course.
So my question is the developer okay with that deed restriction allowing access for emergency maintenance? Or
it's not a deed restriction, it's an easement.
An
right
easement, okay. Because if you are, I mean, I'm okay with a contingent approval or a conditional approval that has that condition on it.
But the only thing I would suggest is that it has to be a defined location.
Right.
You have to show it up,
well,
dimension on the plat.
Well, meets and bounds description going up with the road.
Put it on the plat.
Up on the property, over to wherever.
I would think you want to put it off. You want to have it run along one of the property lines.
And that easement
yeah.
Would have to show.
So on the north edge of lot 3 or the south edge, either one. That where's the north? Yeah, the north or south property line. You want an access way. I don't know. Is there any preferred location given the makeup of the pond area? Probably near the outlet, right? So on the southerly edge?
I mean, you know, the pond's, it's, you know, it's all grown up, it's all, you know, I mean, it's a mess. I don't know if you've been out there, but.
No, I have.
Yeah, it's not a pretty thing.
No.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, does it need anything now? It could use a little, you know, cleanup on the outlet going down. I've got some leaves in it, you know, you know, I think if I was going to put it in, I'd put it in the south side.
Okay.
Yeah. Right where we show the driveway. I mean, if, you know, we put that plan in there where the buildings will be and everything, and that could change. I mean, that building can be moved up. It can get away from there. We can put something in that goes straight across, right on the boundary, and get over there.
I would prefer the south edge, mainly because that... The bigger issues are probably going to be on the outlet in that time, more so than the inlet. So that's the end you want to have access to in there. So,
well, you're going to have access to, I mean, they'll be able to get around anyway.
Right.
So but nobody's going to say, if it actually starts flooding, I got to think that the owner of lot 3 is going to jump on it before anybody else does, just because it could, it depends on how the grade is set up, but it... It's going to impact part of his lawn at least, or part of his property. So,
another question, John. I have no problem. We have no problem with the south edge restriction all the way over the pond, and including in our description with the survey the entire pond and that. Like I said, unfortunately, it's, to get the description, it's going to get the surveys up there, and it's going to take a little bit of time.
For the benefit of our machine, would you say your name, sir?
Yeah, no problem. Mark Stewart.
So then if we put that on as a condition on the approval, you're okay with moving ahead with it? We're not going to have to come back in front of us because you decided you don't want to do it?
No.
Awesome. That's good. See, this is all I wanted.
So I will say this. I actually looked into this. I remember when we did our last ones in Great Box. This was on there in the original deed from Gardner to Jimmy Greenwood.
Yes.
And Jimmy Greenwood to the current owners, the maintenance agreement got pulled off the deed.
Yes.
So I pulled all three through the records, and I remember, like, I've had this conversation with you, and it was there, but on the current deed, it was removed.
Right.
So we actually had a maintenance agreement in those two steps.
Right.
So, well, we will put it on ours, and now it's part of the map, so it'll be there.
Just kidding. Yeah, because that would seem like in the area of the building setback, you got a good spot to put it, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of not going to affect us from where we can put it in the house. Yeah.
So when we say, what's sufficient for this? So we don't get a 5-foot easement? 12?
Yeah, 12.
12?
Yeah.
12, 10 minutes.
Oh.
The 12 would be the entire area for the kitchen restriction.
No, I'm talking about the access from the driveway and across the property line.
Yeah, 12.
It's
close.
Well, you got to get away from the
creek. He's already got adequate area for the pond.
Pardon?
You've already got adequate area for the pond.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the access.
Yeah,
to the
end. Yeah. 12 feet, I think. It's fine. But
12 feet?
Yep.
You think? What happens if you want to put a piece of equipment or something in there?
12 foot.
12 feet's enough.
Should be able to do that.
It's a single lane.
Anything you're going to do in there, you can do.
Slow traffic coming at you.
Okay. They can turn around the pond.
Yeah.
Now that's unobstructed, right?
You can't put a gate up because it would
turn off. There's no ledges.
Or put a shed in front of it, you know, or in the middle of it, you know, someday, you know.
Well, I'm presuming we have to have our attorney prepare an easement. It's got to go to Carl. She's got to look at it, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I don't know if we can trust Carl anymore now.
But you won't have to look at it for me.
Boy, you're pretty brave, Gary. You're pretty brave, Sam. She's not here.
I assume that there'd be an access easement along that 12-foot that you're talking about. But then they have to have an easement over the deed restricted area as well to do the maintenance. Right? So it's an easement for access and then an easement over that.
Right, right. She'll have to change this agreement that we put in there?
Yeah.
Right? Now she has to change that and add something that says that we're doing this easement. That's how you get there. And we don't know who's going to maintain it, but anyone could maintain it.
But if somebody has to, they can't. I don't really care who it is.
As long as it doesn't cost us any money.
Just lines on a piece of paper. I don't think we need to talk about the quality of the road or the easement.
No.
See? That's all I'm saying. It lines on a piece of paper and a restriction that says you can't plant a building there.
So, Lord, what are you going to do?
I have language if anybody's interested.
Oh, I'd love it. Sure.
Condition for a 12-foot unobstructed easement for pond maintenance along the southerly property boundary of lot number 3.
Make a motion for approval based with that condition.
Motion to be made to grant final approval.
And
the general contracting of the street. Subdivision. To the motion. Go ahead, sir.
I have a second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
I only have one brief question. Does the pond include the pond overflow area?
Pardon?
Does the pond include the pond overflow area?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes all the way down.
It goes all the way out to 197.
Yeah, it's all the whole property going down to 197.
I'll make sure that is understood.
Any further discussion? If not, call the roll, please.
Mr. Arnold?
Aye.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Bouchard?
Aye.
Ms. Matias?
Aye.
Mr. Spiegel?
Yes.
Mr. Dempsey?
Aye. Thank you, Madam Secretary. I have a second in front of me. No negative, no extensions, is that correct?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Board.
No.
You won't see it for a few months, though.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. We have another sort of motion for this applicant. This is a
yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's why.
Thank you, guys.
They think they're done. Gary, we got another motion.
What's that?
Yeah.
What do we got?
Simple one, right? You're looking for a motion that the chairman and one other member sign the MYLARs when they're presented to the town.
Motion has been made for the chair and one other member of the board to sign the MYLARs when they are prepared. So the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Don't think that was too controversial. All of them, right?
All right.
Oh, extension.
Question.
Motion carries. Okay. Yeah. Okay, all this can bother me. The second item of agenda for this evening is Jack Hall, what do you mean? We have one more.
We do, good evening.
Good evening.
Should I wait for a final board member?
No.
No, okay. Good evening, everybody. Justin Grassi, attorney with Jones Steeves. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present this application to you all tonight. What we're here for is a planned unit development. Now, the planning board probably hasn't seen a lot of planned unit development, so I figured I'd give a brief overview of what that is and why we're here. The planned unit development is essentially an application to amend the current zoning ordinance. It's an application before the town board, so ultimately it's a town board decision on adopting what would be zoning legislation intended to be for a specific area. So something more specific than a zoning district, an area which would have a mixed use which doesn't currently fit in with the current zoning ordinance. So why are we proposing this PUD? Where we are, we're between Merritt and Jacoby Road, Route 9. With me here today is the president, founder of Jack Hall Plumbing and Heating. We have Ty Hall. Ty has lived a stone's throw away from the proposed PUD area for 28 years. He now lives actually within the PUD area itself as of 3 years ago or so.
Yep.
And intends to keep his business, and would love his business to move here, Jack Hall Plumbing and Heating. What that entails is with 25 employees and approximately 25,000 square foot facility. Now, why can't we construct that facility currently? The town board is, as I understand, reviewing the townwide zoning ordinance in anticipation of revising it because, as I think most people in the town know, this Route 9 corridor has become busier, has become more commercial in nature, and the current zoning doesn't really fit in with what is being seen as far as development. So the town board is going through the motions of doing that, of modifying its own zoning ordinance. However, the town board's time frame for approving what we believe would be a more intense use in this area unfortunately doesn't match up with the business model that we need to either move our facility or expand immediately. We would love to remain in the town of Moreau. That's why we kind of came before, ahead of that curve, so to speak, ahead of the town board modifying this whole corridor and saying we think this is exactly what town board is going to be envisioning as far as commercial development in this area, but we need it now in the form of a small PUD. When I say small PUD, it is six parcels. It's the six parcels that essentially cover the entirety of the block between Merritt and Jacoby Road on Route 9, all owned by the applicant. Like I suggested, that would ultimately be an up to 25,000 square foot facility that would entail both his office space and storage of what everyone here may recognize as that fleet of red vehicles that Jack Hall uses. So those would be stored inside. In addition, what we've done is we've kept the residential district uses and what I call the building metrics, so your setbacks and frontages, and then we've added and incorporated just a couple, three uses actually from the C1 zone. So the C1 zone, which is on both sides of that C3 zone in this area, and we've taken that office use and that warehouse use. Interestingly enough, If the applicant was an attorney, or if the applicant was a doctor, he would already, without having to come before this board or before the town board, be able to do exactly what's being proposed, that is his office use. The current town zoning ordinance has a definition for professional offices. So professional offices...
Regardless of what the language is, we have to live with what's written out.
Absolutely. So. Yep. The only reason I point that out is because what you'll see along this C3 corridor already would look something like what we have. It would simply contain attorneys or doctors. So here we have something, a business which doesn't require those licenses, and therefore it's not permitted as a current use. So that's what the PUD is intended to do. Allow plumbing and heating company to come in and build an office space. So the PUD is, as I suggested, the town board legislation amendment. They require a planning board referral. That's what's before you today. So referral and recommendation back to the town board. So you have the opportunity, I think importantly, not only do you have the opportunity to make recommendations of the current legislation that we have proposed before you, ultimately, if the language is adopted, you still have site plan review purview. So this is not a site plan right now. If we get the legislation approved, comes back to this planning board to have final site plan review. So that's definitely important as far as if you're used to more detail in the project. That's why you're not seeing it right now. We would need the legislation approved as step one. Then we come in with more details and finalize the project that we can put before the planning board. But we also obviously welcome any recommendations that help us get this there. So.
Okay.
Lauren,
any further questions? Any questions for this applicant this
time? I have a couple.
Yes.
Good.
I gather that there is part of this, some of these lots are going to be used for development of this 25,000 square foot facility, and surrounding it are residences. Those aren't changing, those are pre-existing structures.
Correct.
Can you be more specific about what the uses are of this new 25,000 square foot? It's not just office, it's something else. It looks like it has, I guess, bays for trucks.
That is correct. I believe we're still going through exactly what that building will look like and exactly what our use will look like. But it's expected right now that approximately 40% of the space will be for offices and 60% of the space of the facility will be for indoor parking for the vehicles themselves. Indoor parking, obviously intended to mitigate what you would have as headlights and noise and things of that nature of a few parked vehicles.
What kind of vehicles?
So you may have seen the red bands, and actually, Todd, you can probably explain what vehicles you have better than I. I know I see them on the highway all the time, but they're, in my opinion, some of the more beautiful commercial plumbing and heating trucks that you see. I think it's a staple of his company. They're very organized. I've actually had the benefit of having a tour of the interior of them. But they're the red ones that would have Jack Hall plumbing and heating.
The regular size for the wall.
Yeah.
They're transit vans, you know, like a medium-sized van. You know, I don't know if I'd put them all in there. You know, there'd be some in there probably, but it's kind of more storage for what we sell, and you know, the more you can store them, the better buying power you get. So
you can store equipment and supplies.
Yep.
So you have big trucks coming in there, loading, unloading.
It'll be during the day. There would be a few tractor trailers once in a while, not a lot. You know, yeah. I told the other board that the operation would be what, 8 to 5 typically, once in a while, you might be there till 6 or 7, but wouldn't be late nights or none of that, you know, so.
Now, the one thing that I just want to make sure the board understands, this came in initially encompassing an area of 9 lots, and if you go to Exhibit F, the original submission, there is a thin red boundary line shown around the lots that were included. Yeah. And I think what was discovered on the part of the applicant is, the R1 zoning district cuts through essentially the front portion of these lots up front on Route 9. So those lots numbered 49-59-2-23.3, 23.2 and 23.1 are wholly within the R1 district, and that is specifically disallowed for PUD. So they amended their application to essentially include the front six lots that front on Route 9, including two corner lots. You have a small corner lot on Jacoby Road in Route 9 and a small corner lot on Merrill Road in Route 9. And then those intervening lots are also front on Route 9. Where the exact location of the zoning district boundary is, I don't think it tracks the rear property line.
No, that's not.
But it is some dimension off of the Route 9 right of way.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first things we should do is, you know, by survey, determine where that line is, because that's where the demarcation has to be for the PUD. You can't go into R1.
One of the things that I've been looking at in this one, you don't have to stand up, we're informal around here, that I see a dimension of approximately 300 feet, give or take, as a front-to-back dimension. And according to the handy-dandy map that I have, the C3 zone is 250 feet each side of the center line of Route 9. That may be a problem. Now, the town board, in its magnificent wisdom, has the right to alter that, I believe. It's something that if we were to look at it, I would have to say no. And I don't have anything against Jack Hall. I think they're doing good. But we also have another problem. And that one thing that makes an attorney cringe is arbitrary and capricious. And just a few months ago, we came down on a PUD application and basically told them they don't have a housing component. Good enough. So the town board can modify that.
Well, no. I will respond to that.
Okay.
And because I had the same concern initially, but because I think there's components of this that if it comes in under a certain method, I think it can overcome that. And my point is, the large lot in the center of this 49.60-1-38 currently has at least two apartments on it, right? There's two apartments. So that is the housing component, Peter. It does have a housing component, so this is truly a mixed use. However, one of the things I think that, you know, should be a condition is that housing component there has to be remain in order for this to maintain its mixed use character. And the other thing I think that's important is, you know, the statement was made, well, we want to carry through the R1 restrictions. I think that's a positive. But one of those things is a minimum lot coverage of 25%. That's pretty aggressive. Can they truly live with a minimum lot coverage of 25% given the restricted area in which this PUD is to occur?
Maximum
lot coverage of 25%. So that's what they carried through in their suggested district language. I don't think they can do that, but my point is, currently the two corner lots on Jacoby and Merritt Road are vacant. And then another point I made in my staff notes is, I think it's very important that they then be required to remain that way. So we have the open space and no further development can occur beyond what is suggested in this site.
All right, so what you're suggesting is, in order to make this PUD conducive with our zoning, we're going to take two corner lots in our C3 and eliminate them from development.
Well, they're going to be within this PUD boundary. Okay, we set the PUD boundary. It's that entire face of property from Jacoby Road to Merrill Road.
Right, but they can't be developed for residential or commercial.
Right, because if you're going to set forth such an aggressive, because I think once we get in out of the public with this, there's going to be some perception that this is, you know, 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag type thing.
So
and I think we can overcome that, providing, first of all, the minimum idea that this is mixed use, that housing component must remain. That's clear.
It's also a public use or public benefit. requirement of PUD? I don't see that anywhere. I don't know how you would see it here, but I don't see it here.
It's how much you want to determine what is open space and what is open space to public benefit. You know, it's...
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. One's for you, Jim.
Okay.
And this one just came up, as the presenter said. I've been somewhat actively involved in the rezoning, okay, or the rewriting of the zoning code. This is news to me that we're trying to change the zoning in the C3 to make it more commercial, more dense commercial.
Well, I heard that too. As a person who's drafting that code, this is going to be a tough area of the town to deal with.
And I've never read anything in our drafts, anything that's come along that said, right, that, hey, let's go all bang.
Exactly.
In this area.
So I don't know that I agree with that description of the rezoning.
We want to develop the C3. And I think it's been mentioned over and over again that we want to encourage full development of the C3, including vacant lots and underdeveloped resources. Okay.
Yes, and
I've never seen anything that said we'd like to open it up for C1 type development. This is my question to the applicant. Why not the C1? And I say this because we have lots of wonderful locations in our C1 that already exist that I would probably be your biggest cheerleader. I like this project. I like the looks of it. I like your business and everything. But instead of trying to put a square peg in a round hole, why not propose it in the C1 itself where all of this is already okay?
Because I own it.
Okay, but you didn't own it
3 years ago.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is nothing changed since you owned it or since you bought it. It isn't like when you bought it, you thought, hey, this would be a C1, and it's not. Or it's not like you've been there with a home office and now you want to expand into something more. So just the act of you buying it doesn't mean that it's a great location for a C1 type development. There's other land in the town that's also available to buy. Okay, and I'm not knocking you because honestly what you propose is probably first of all, it's a nice looking project. All right, mm-hmm. And it's a location that's screaming for some type of
something.
Right, I agree with you on that. I'm just saying that we do have other spots in our C1 that are screaming for something that looks this nice. All right.
I know.
That's why I'm asking you this question. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm not telling you you have to. I'm just asking you why.
Well, originally when we bought this property, we didn't think about doing what we're trying to do right now.
Okay.
But we didn't realize that because what we have on our property is no different than anything else, like within a few blocks of us, within our blocks. It's office space. We want to put a classroom in there. We have schools come in, like Corinth and South and South. We have people that come in from HVAC, from Saratoga County. And we sponsor these. We want to put some classrooms in there. The only thing that's in there is trucks. So we didn't realize that us having our vehicles there would make that into a C1. Right now, everybody takes their vehicles home.
If it was just office, I think we wouldn't even need PUD.
All right, well, so for example, we did a hair salon.
Just one quick question. For the convenience of our recording, can you just state your name, please, again?
I'm sorry, Vicky Hall.
So an example is we did a number of years ago, 12 or 13 years ago, we did a hair salon next to, I forget the diner now, the name of the diner.
Okay.
But anyways, we did a hair salon up further uptown past the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
We limited her parking to like 2 spaces because it's supposed to be professional offices. The idea was maybe one customer at a time. We allowed for she might want to have one on dock, so 2 spaces so that, you know, you don't have a whole bunch of people in there all at one time and all. That was limiting it because the zoning was for residential and professional offices type situation. Okay, so a hair salon is kind of a commercial enterprise, but it could fit into that professional office idea. It isn't just the license. It isn't just, well, I'm a dentist or I'm a lawyer or whatever, because we had a veterinarian in there. We've had other things. So each of these, it mainly was supposed to be low impact commercial. Okay, so What you're proposing right now, if it was your residence and an in-residence office, it would already be done. If it was even just an office, it would already be done. But you're also proposing warehouse, tractor-trailer deliveries, okay, multiple commercial vehicles in and out. All right. It's still not as dense as a mall or a gas station or a fast food restaurant, but it is stretching it. It's ideal for a PUD, okay? I happen to agree that using it in a way to, with screening and with open space, to kind of, even though you have a large use, to not have the impact be large, is beneficial. Okay?
I guess what I'm suggesting is that, you know, we're condensing the intensity of the use within, we're taking like the development rights along a wider swath here, and we're condensing it, so to speak, into that 125,000 square foot building, and that's all this whole block face then will ever be.
Which is exactly what we would do on other PUDs, right? Mm-hmm.
See, my problem with it is that then we're taking two corner lots and saying, okay, we can't ever develop this commercial because we have this one extensive use.
I don't see that as a problem. I mean,
that would be the landowner's
choice. If we did a subdivision, they said that's they want to allocate that.
I mean, I'd rather see that than have this thing have this. This is going to be a rather large building in this immediate area.
Yeah.
And then someday in the future, you have a couple more pop up, and now you've lost, you know, that intent. But if we can contain this within, you know, the ask that is before us now, the 25,000 square foot building, then the open space that remains stays there.
It's not taking
out
the tax
rate. Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, it's sort of taking its developer rights off of this wider area and condensing it into one location. It's essentially what that does. And then I'm not so sure, you know, I think Peter's point about the, you know, the district boundary. I don't know exactly whether it's 250 or 300 or whether I'd want to see a signed survey, you know, an interpretation of that.
Well, it's 250 from the center.
Yeah, that one, it is 250 from the center, which puts it about 200 feet from the outside of the right.
Now, there is a mechanical process to do that, but it's going to be an extra step. The town board would have to rezone this to C3, and then you could consider the PUD for the wider area. But the first step would be to take and rezone the C3 boundary to the rear property line, you know, these lots, as an extra step, and then you can have the PUD. You can't do that in one step.
Can I? Well, I guess one thing I would like to, if I can, John, to your point, you know, one of the things with the PUD, one of the great things about the PUD is we could always go back and amend it, right? So, or there's two options, really. If we see that these corner lots are now really attractive lots, that what we want to see on Route 9 is some sort of commercial space on them, obviously we have the opportunity to come back and amend our PUD. The other option that is also often frequented is you can actually withdraw your PUD often. How that works varies by town, but usually what would happen is what would be the underlying zoning district would come into play. So if this area permitted, for instance, offices that we're proposing right now in the future, PUD essentially becomes moot, no longer needed, at which time you can simply revoke it and go back to the underlying zone. With regard to the 250 or 300 feet, it occurs to me that at some point, there must have been some applicants that got a determination as far as what is my zone or how the town has treated the rear portion that would be in a separate zone. Has the town...
We have to look at the zoning map. The zoning map clearly states that the C3 district extends 250 feet from some other route map.
Right. Yeah, I guess from my perspective, when I'm looking at the zoning maps and the zoning legislation, there's usually a provision that allows some sort of flexibility in that, right? So where inevitably a 250 mark will split a lot into multiple uses, the town doesn't want quarter of lots or a third of lots wasted in the back because it just doesn't make sense.
It goes to the more, there's a stat, something about splitting
zoning, and I think it defers to the board to.
I think it's hard and fast. The boundary's a boundary.
Now,
now
there's another option. That is that you own the lots on the backside too.
Right.
So if it came to where you couldn't develop it because it was R1 in the back part, you could always do a lot line adjustment, shift that R1 part to those lots, and have isolate just the C3.
Correct.
But then that limits your ability to develop the C3 portion of it, because
it shortens the distance.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we will strive to correct with the rezoning will be to have district boundaries track with parcel boundaries, because of the problem this is creating. But to me, the only way out of this is to zone this to C3 and then rezone the C3 area to PUD. Extend the C3 boundary to the rear property line first.
And the other thing that we need to take into consideration, and this is going to sound again like I'm against Jack Hall, but I'm not, and we have a commercial standard in PUD close to 10 acres.
Well, no, there is a provision where you can make exception to that. That's why I went through it in my staff notes. You have to go through an exception process to extend this to a smaller area.
What would the basis for exception be?
Huh?
What would the basis for an exception be?
The exception clause starts with, I gave it to you in the PUD.
If you'd like, I can read it.
It starts on page 8 and letter D, acceptance to district standards. In determining whether acceptance to district standards should be allowed, particularly as regarding the intensity of land use, the town board shall consider the following factors. So you can make exception, but there's a criteria you have to go through in order to reach that exception.
And I'm sure myself that the town board has to do this.
Pardon?
Right now, we have to say no. But the town board can make that amendment to make this a viable project. But there's several steps that they have to take to do it.
Yeah, they have to go through the exception clause and come to a positive decision on that. I mean, I think, from my standpoint, what I was trying to say in my notes, this is kind of threading the needle here, but it can be done, but there's got to be some exceptional steps taken.
So I guess the question for me for the town board, and they can hear this in the recording and just put it into their thoughts, is when the current zoning was put into place, and obviously it's been amended as time's gone out, but when it was originally, the zoning was originally set up, the one that we work with right now, it appears to me that somebody basically drove around with the building inspector and just said, what uses are there in this area and that area?
That's exactly
right.
It seems very much, okay. To the same degree, I've not heard anything from anybody that said, hey, we'd really like to concentrate commercial development on this strip between Bluebird Road and Williams Street. All right. It's already very residential. Okay, it's next to an R1. It isn't like it's out by an R2 or 3. It's dense residential. Okay, we put limits on proposals over the last 10 to 15 years that have been in that area based on the zone. Okay, and then anything we did here, I know a PUD doesn't set precedent, but allowing a PUD does. Okay. It just encourages more. So I guess from my viewpoint, I would love to see this in the C1. I really would. And I have great respect for your business. I'd love to have you in the town borough. So by no means am I doing this like, hey, I don't want you in our town. I've only heard from one resident, believe it or not, in that area about this project, and that resident was in support of it. Because they'd rather have Jack Hall's offices as nice as they look in Glens Falls across the street from them than 6 houses. Okay. That's, or 6 small commercial businesses. So it's not, I think you will hear from the public. I think the public hearing will have people that are opposed, not to you, but opposed to a commercial development at this scale. All right. But to the same degree, you might have people that are okay with it. But I do agree with your notes. that if it's going to go in, respect has to be given to the R1. Because that's, I think that's what the zoning in that area is really about, is protecting the R1 that already exists and trying to keep it from becoming too commercial. Unless the town's going in a different direction.
See, this is a problem. It's not only a problem in this town. In many towns experience this problem. In my mind, when you have a high traffic, high volume corridor like Route 9, it's clearly not conducive to residential development anymore,
right,
or residential use.
Right.
So therefore, it is conducive to some sort of business.
Right.
And the difficult process to go through is understanding what level of commercial development is appropriate and at what intensity. And that's why where I was going with my notes is to say, I think this is something that can be supported, but the balance of the property has to be left open, because otherwise then there are no, it's just wide open development, just unrestricted. And that's not clearly not the intent of the PUD. There's supposed to be some retaining character here. And I think he's on the right path with the building architecture and things I saw, the rendering. It's a beautiful building. But if we're going to maintain that as a developmental asset, then it's got to exist within the open space that is also called for, you know, within the PUD legislation.
I agree with that. This would be a good project in C1. It is a beautiful building. It's great, and the business has a great reputation. But I don't think PUD was intended to create this type of development. And I don't think it's consistent with the existing character of the neighborhood or the comprehensive plan. So I would not encourage it.
Where do your vehicles go now? So you're right in Dunn's Falls, right? So they just go home.
Lots of them are home. But I'm getting tired of that.
Yeah.
Wasted money.
Not far.
Right in the middle of Dunn's Falls.
Yeah.
But it's just
with a toilet over there, right?
Yeah.
And very nice.
And I'm building a house. We're building a house out back. So it's not like I'm out of the ugly and messy looking. And I don't think the traffic would be any worse than across the street at the veterinarian.
I think the traffic 100 yards away from you is the most in town we're at high school.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not going to, no matter what goes there, you're never going to beat that. You're not going to beat buses. I don't know the church behind there, but I bet on Sundays it's pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little busy.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there could be a doctor's clinic in here, and the traffic could be much more intense and much more consistently constant. Where this is concentrated basically at two times a day, in the morning when the trucks go out, and in the evening when they come back.
It could be a doctor's office, right? I mean, we're not talking about a Hudson Headwaters. We're talking about a doctor's office with...
Well, I was thinking more, when I say clinic, I was thinking like Iron Gate Center, that type of thing. That could go here.
Actually, we are kind of like doctors, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You make hospitals.
I like that.
I mean, John, if you had a campus setting of offices here,
we save more lives than
not concentrated in one building.
Right.
It could be just as intense.
Carbon monoxide.
I'm intrigued too with your classroom concept.
We do that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's for the vocational, right?
Yeah.
That's my goal. You can't get heating cooling guys now.
Any thought of rather than one big building, maybe having them separate? I don't know if it fit in the mixed use concept or
main classrooms inside the office.
Yeah.
That's what we would.
Well, you see, she's just suggesting more of a campus setting in separate buildings and not.
We've been notified by schools and nobody will even give them the time of day
right.
to have kids come in.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, land use wise, instead of this bigger 25.
Oh, instead of the big building, have separate little.
Yeah.
I'm game to do anything. If somebody, you know, if you work, I'll work with anybody. I'm pretty easy to get along with.
But you want to keep it all on site.
It makes sense, but also
I'm just trying to keep it all on site and make it so it's.
No, I thought there was some, you know, you can definitely tell somebody's trying to be, you know, to mitigate here in the design of the building, the U shape. building from the rear, and that's going to mask a lot of what happens. You're not going to see it from the street.
I like that.
And the U-shape in both directions, on the front yard and the rear yard. I thought that was kind of a neat design trick here in terms of trying to, you know, diminish the impact of the trucks coming and going. But, you know, maybe a campus setting would be something to consider.
If I may, you know, I guess from our perspective, you know, one of the questions was brought, you know, why is your wife? What we have here is we've got five vacant lots all fronting on Route 9, right? And we have Route 9, which is very busy. Do we want to see five residences going there? Probably not. So if the five residences weren't going in there, what would go in there? And then you'd see some offices. And now you could potentially see five different office buildings. That's the reality is if we don't build there, perhaps we sell, perhaps we go to C1, and what you see is five separate commercial entities. Doesn't make more sense for us to just go on. And what we thought was, given a PUD, that gives the town, the planning board, the opportunity to shape exactly what we want to see. We're talking right now, public use. You know, one of the things we were proposing originally is an educational aspect to this. That there's one of the public uses. We have a number of green space. You know, to the extent we have concerns over the intensity here, we get to, this is a great project where rather than looking at an entire town-wide zoning ordinance, we get to look at this exact street and see what we want there. What kind of mitigating measures can we do there? What kind of plantings and fencing and giving Ty and his reputation, he wants us to live next. He intends to live next door. His family lives around next door. That's kind of, we think it makes sense, especially given the attention that we can give it with a PUD right now.
Well, I have to say, I'd rather see it go through as a PUD than a zoning variance.
When he was in initially, we did discuss the idea of extending the C1 zone.
Right.
You have to go across several properties that are not part of this proposal in order to do that, but that was discussed.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll give you another hint. As an attorney, I was trying to be a little sneaky. I said we can actually modify the definitions in your code. I said, right now we have a C3 district. Let's change it from professional office to regular office, and we get in changing it that way. So, there was alternative ways to do this, but we decided it made more sense to look at the applicant, look what he's proposing, and we thought people would find that.
You are required to hold a public hearing.
Yes.
But you have to make sure you have a complete application first. Because once we're in the process, we're in it. And so we have to go through a public hearing to the point of a favorable or unfavorable report back.
The homes that are within the block that we're talking about, we have talked to people that live there. They do know they do know what we're trying to do, and there wasn't anyone that was against it, at least talking to us.
Well, your proposal does a nice job of taking your impact and centering it so that it's distant from all. That was a very nice location to pick.
Okay.
So none of them are going to be directly impacted. And if you're not parking the tractor trailer right next to somebody's back fence.
They're not really tractor trailers. They're bigger trucks. They're not like web.
Well, whatever's coming to the local.
Yeah,
county.
They're not that big.
Jim, what about extending the water for the water for the sewer line? Does that have to be extended under that new?
I think you're not already in it. You're going to be.
No, it's not part of the sewer district.
It's not a reservoir or Uber.
I'd assume this was in the sewer district already.
No. So my question is, are they within that half mile? And do
they certainly would be within that.
Do they have to put in a sewer line?
No. Come on.
I think they would. That's another town board decision, but yeah.
Put it under that new.
That was for subdivisions, right?
I think it's going to be for any development.
So.
Isn't it stopped at 197?
So if somebody proposed a residence on the corner, and I know you own this, but let's say you don't. Somebody proposes a residence on the corner of.
Not a single residence, but when you're talking about something of this nature, you know, a PUD, or I think that's going to get caught in it.
I thought that was only subdivisions of certain size.
We're not trying to do is get clarified. So.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't even considered that.
Well, these are the types of questions. I mean, when you go through to formulate your final report, back to the plant, or back to the town board. These are the types of things that have to be raised or should be raised.
Yeah, I mean, the water is there, so you're all set with the water, but sewer, I
assume this was in the sewer district.
No, it's north of the sewer district. It's actually north of Bluebird. It goes from Bluebird south to 9.
Yeah.
He's within a half mile north. So.
Of where it's going?
Yeah.
Where's it turning? Is
it's,
it turning?
It's coming up Bluebird.
And then turning south.
And then turning south.
Right.
So, is it? I don't know if that's a Carla question or.
I don't say determination needs to be made by the town board.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that's not in our hands.
All things considered, that what you're proposing wouldn't require hooking up the sewer for your personal needs, right? I mean, you could take the bathrooms and the classroom use and the office use and run it through a regular septic system.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. It's not like I want to have 20 bathrooms.
I know.
it's the way it's all written about that.
The only thing that kind of would be helpful, this is kind of in line with what Meredith was suggesting on the campus setting. I think the site plan you have so far is just the site for the facility. I don't see any planning otherwise around it. Or am I dismissing it?
As in plantings and the fencing?
No, what do you plan to do in the balance of the property, specifically?
What do you mean?
How do you propose to develop it?
To make it look?
The other lots.
Yeah, the other lots.
Oh, the other lots?
Yeah.
I haven't thought that far. Come on.
Well, that's what it is.
Only we got back and only go that far.
That's why I'm saying it's the other open space.
Yeah, I mean, the cut is the whole package. It's not just that one.
The corner on Merritt Road, we had all those plans being empty. Anyways.
You guys all live in town Morrell?
Yes.
To be on the board?
Yeah.
You guys drive by that probably almost every day? What would you rather have there besides a nice, beautiful plumbing and heating building versus Skimmerhorn Apartments? Or
well, first of all, Skimmerhorn Apartments are not allowed there.
Okay. So that's why he didn't buy it before.
Well, no, that's the point of zoning is in that particular zone is allowed in-home offices, small commercial development. I've been on the planning board for not as long as this guy, but for quite some time. Every project that comes in front of us, you sit there and go, you know what, I'd really rather, but we don't get to make those determinations. We have to make it based on what the town law is, which is actually determined by the town board via their election of by the voters. So we get those laws and we have to try and fit things into it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you try to come into it not, you know, with any biases. Like, I happen to think you run a really nice, clean operation. The vehicles are clean, the workers are always clean. Your site on Bay Road, for years I've been like, how can we get Paul's Plumbing to move in to Moreau? How can we get him? Because we want him.
Right.
The problem is the site you pick doesn't fit zoning-wise to that.
That easy.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, the PUD is a tool that can be used to work that. I get what Jim's suggesting by leaving certain lots open, by leaving certain areas, by using planting screens to kind of minimize the impact of the building, things like that. We can kind of work on mitigating some of the difference of where it fits. But it really does have to go through a PUD in that location in order to work. It just, you can't do it with zoning. It just doesn't fit at the present zone.
Right.
You go a little bit south and boom, you're there.
I really feel like if this were to follow through, it's going to have to go through a two-step mechanical process.
But the PUD doesn't get them out of that having to bring the sewer line up Route 9 and connect.
Right. Well, that's different. But they do have to take the entire site to C3 and then it can go to PUD. So they have to go through that extra added step of rezoning or zoning boundary adjustment, and then you can consider the PUD over the full site.
So is that the next step? Is there a next
step? Well, no, I think that's got to be part of the report back to the board. If if this is to go through with a PUD, even on the lots running, the six lots they narrowed it down to, only 250 feet of those lots is in the C3 district. That's not going to accommodate what they want to do.
Is the C3, does that have the same restriction on warehousing as the C1 has?
No, it's not allowed to use in C3.
So it doesn't even, okay.
You don't have to worry about it.
So under a PUD, you wouldn't have to worry about that?
Right.
I mean, we've been a little lenient.
I mean, this is not warehousing in a true sense.
No, this
I mean,
isn't warehousing as a business. So.
You're no. What are you, store? You're like,
purposes.
Water heaters, that kind of thing. And
I don't even know if I need 25,000, but if I start at 25, yeah. I can always pull back a little bit.
Right. You can propose 25,000 and make it.
Well, you're going to eat up a lot of it. If you how many vehicles in your
family? Well, if I put them all in, and that's, like she said, do separate buildings. What if I do a pole barn, some kind of nice-looking pole barn, and pack the vehicles in, keep them out of the weather, you know, in the winter, and have the office here, but then the pole barn and enough to pull two or three vehicles in to the building to stock them and clean them and wash them and all that stuff. They're just...
The other thing, you drafted a district here in the beginning, and I think that I applaud you for doing that. You don't often see that. You know, a lot of people don't start looking at that right away. You put in the 25% minimum lot coverage, you know, or so I just want to make sure that works for you, you know, in light of what you've got proposed here. And, you know, could you go to a campus type of a design? That's another thing to look at.
I think building something like that makes it way more pricier.
Yes, it does. More foundations, more roofs.
Yeah.
Well, that new, and once again, you haven't really solved. I mean, you're still proposing the same use for that area. So really what we're doing with what you proposed right now is what you would do with a...
Well, it's clearly a change of use. It's clearly a change of use. And it's right. A change of use from what's traditionally done in C3. That's why they're here.
Right.
But mechanically, we got to get it to work, and that's changing the C3 boundary. And then the next is, what do we see as adverse impacts, and how can we, you know, mitigate them?
And we have to make sure that it fits within the rules and restrictions of the PUD.
Right.
What activates the right to use a PUD for that.
Right.
All right. So, and there are some towns that are very loose with their PUDs. I mean, Baltimore, almost everything is...
Everything goes through PUD.
Everything goes through. The town board basically controls development, and Malta doesn't. The zoning doesn't. So, but we don't usually do that.
I think they can get there. They do have to meet the exceptions clause. And I think you could probably get there, but it's going to take some work to do it.
Two more minutes.
No, but you know, what Jim's saying is there's going to be some work to just get the PUD done, plus now we're talking about the potential that you may be forced by the new sewer law to bring a sewer line up from Bluebird Road all the way up to York, which is...
That's on our ticket.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. But anyway, so then you have to start looking at, hey, maybe we can, you mentioned the campus, maybe we can set up certain offices here at this site, and then we move the things that don't fit into a smaller site on the C2 or in the C1 somewhere or whatever. But then you've got to divide it. Business, and I understand that. It's nice to keep everything where you can kind of keep an eye on it, so I get that.
We got that now.
The language for district extension.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to become a law.
Well, I've been told now that it's a policy and not a law yet.
Okay. It's a resolution.
Yes,
okay.
It's a policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a law. There's a difference.
And it does, I mean, it dawns on me, you know, what a PUD really is a zone change. I would be surprised if a zone change triggered the extension of the sewer district. The zone change in itself is a project. It's a legislative act. So I would be very surprised if that's the wording of this, in which case we could get the legislative zone change and then a site plan approval, which also shouldn't trigger the extension of the sewer line. I may be wrong. I haven't looked at this.
The site plan portion. Because you're developing. You're not just changing use. You're developing.
So
that's, that's a Carly question. I know that.
Yeah.
Because if we were proposing an office, for instance, would require site plan approval, just not on one single lot, would that office be required to extend the sewer? I'd be surprised again.
Yeah,
but
you should be directing us to him, because to be honest, until tonight, I can't believe this.
Yeah,
I kind of thought it was only subdivisions that were going to do that. So
it was strictly a question. And
yeah, it's a good one, though.
Before we go too far with this thing, because...
You, and we appreciate it as well, because... frankly, that could be a deal killer. I mean, the expense of extending might make it so it doesn't make any more sense for us to even continue.
That's why I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention tonight.
I'll certainly be working with Carla to figure that. And I think, again, I think there's got to be an easier answer to the zoning question on the boundary grid. Because again, if we were coming in for a professional office on a single lot, would we not be able to use that quarter of our lot? That doesn't trigger me as making sense for a zoning legislation. That may have been the process. It might require a determination from code enforcement. I don't know where that goes, but
I think you'll find that reason, that distance for the C3 was to keep it. What they were trying to do was allow offices in pre-existing residences that were already there, which most of them were lots of 250 or less. All right. So it was to limit the scope or the size of commercial development in that one corridor. All right. You asked me, would I rather see five small offices, professional offices there, or what you're proposing? I think it's kind of a wash for me. I think they're both great ideas, but one of those fits in the current zoning and one doesn't. So one of them triggers some kind of a hybrid.
Is the veterinarian, is that C? That's
C3, yeah.
So they're legit where they are?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah. They're there.
Well, it's a professional office. It's like a
professional
office.
Before that it was Chase Photography.
That northeast interstate that tows trucks.
Okay, so there's one that was limited by the C3, except the current user is not necessarily... There might be a...
He snuck in there.
Well, he snuck in. He may not necessarily know that he's not in...
Conjunction.
Yeah, okay.
He's basically looking.
He is.
You know what I mean? He put up a fence, and I'm just like, it is what it is.
Right. But bear in mind, Skimmerhorn's apartments are very clean looking, too.
Yeah.
But if he proposed to put them where you're proposing this, it would be no, because we don't allow them in that zone.
Right.
Okay? And he... You know, they're relatively clean from what I can see. So, anyways.
So, what's our next step?
You have to set a public hearing. I think you have a complete application here. There's enough to go on here, certainly. I mean, you put a lot of effort into this.
Well,
that's just my opinion.
We have to ask the applicant if they want to go ahead with the process right before we set a public hearing, because we presented some information.
Right, it's clear. I mean, from my standpoint as zoning administrator, I got to go to the zoning district boundary. That's hard and fast. So if it's a quarter of the lot that's not in it, oh well. You know, there's nothing I can do about that. The zoning district boundary is a hard and fast line.
I know in the past, so I had a unique scenario like this in Saratoga Springs, and essentially what we're proposing is commercial in the front and in the back, which is this, it was residential, and back there, it was just a drive. All it was an access drive, and the determination of code enforcement essentially was the use in the residential portion was consistent with residential. There was no commercial use in it. Whereas, and that was similar here, right? So the entire commercial facilities within the commercial PUD,
yes,
the back buffer is sure. Residential,
that's
not commercial. So
I agree with that.
It might not be a problem if you can essentially speak it as a
big buff. You have a certain setback at the back of a commercial zone,
correct,
as a buffer to the residential, and that setback would have to come from that R1 line, not from the back of the building lot.
Not the, you're saying that we would measure not from the lot line, which would make sense usually, it would actually...
Well, no, it would make sense if that lot line was the edge of the C3, but it's not. So we have to go by the edge of the R1, which then you have to have your setback from there to have your setback from the residential one.
I would be really surprised if the status quo of the town was that anybody that came through had to get a survey of their property determined with the zoning, the line line. But I guess I've been surprised before. So
I don't think we need to. We know what it is, but
the definition
of the zoning is in the code itself, which is 250 feet from the center of Route 9.
It would be my recommendation, and it would be worth it, I was the owner of commercial property, as you are, to change, to move the zoning district boundary to my rear property line. I think it would be worth that.
A separate, would that entail a separate zoning amendment application?
Yep. But it could be dealt with concurrently here.
Yeah.
And so when the day of decision comes, you have the C3 district boundary change, and then the next resolution is the PUD is approved or yeah. whatever. But I would, because it's too valuable, and it's you're giving away too much by not going through that process.
Right.
And then I would recommend that the applicant, who would they ask at the town, Carla, to find out whether they're going to trigger that requirement to run the sewer line?
Yeah, I'm going to call that, so she'll get two calls
No, again, we actually appreciate that. What we don't want is to get another 5 minutes in and realize
that. That's what I'm trying to do, is keep you from 3 months and a certain amount of money invested in surveys and stuff like that, and then find out that you're going to have this huge bill to run a sewer line up that you don't even need.
Right.
Okay? So,
if it pleases the board, I guess where I think where we'd like to send this is if we can schedule a public hearing, I'd love to do so. It may be that given some of these questions, we either don't like the answers, or for instance, if the zoning answer is we need to do another zoning amendment, we eventually get that, as I understand, also is referred to the planning board. You'd have to schedule another public hearing anyway. We'd be here for 2 months with public hearings either way, if that's the determination. But in case it's not, what I would hope is if we can schedule a public hearing, in case we can avoid that, we can continue moving this forward.
How soon will we know the answers to those two questions?
What about the sewer inclusion?
Yeah, I think that'll be. Will we know soon enough to stop the notification if they decided not to want to do a public hearing? Because
the problem is it's such. We got another month again. It seems like every month this happens. It's the first Wednesday, the first Monday of the month is on a Monday. It happens.
Right.
I swear to God, it happens. I mean, you got the earliest possible meeting you could have just about
right.
in November. 15th.
You can't get much earlier than that.
Right. So the answer is it's a very quick turnaround, and it'd be hard to do that given that layout.
Well, the only reason I say that is I hate to schedule a public hearing without having assurance that it's going to occur, because the residents all show up and then it's canceled that night.
Oh yeah, no.
So it would be nice if we could maybe bust our chops and get the decisions, as quick as possible and before notification goes out. We could set the public hearing tonight.
See, what happens is with the Polestar is we have to have it 10 days prior by law. So that takes you to the 5th instantly. And then I have to have the notice into the Polestar to get it published in time, probably by November 2nd.
All right, but we have two questions, right, that we're concerned with?
I would say, why don't you come back in November with those answers, and then we can set the public hearing in December. And then that way we know the feds.
Right.
And then everybody has time, and then you're not spinning your wheels getting people noticed. I know time is of the essence, but that's just kind of my.
The other thing that's been happening is we've had such a volume of applications. We've had several months here where we've had two meetings. It didn't happen this month because they seem to stagger a little bit, but that very well could be the case too. I don't know what's.
I was going to ask you, do we have to do secret on a recommendation? So we don't have
There would be some. I've seen it go both ways. I mean, you could have the lead agent status can be assigned to you for this. The town board doesn't have to take it.
Right.
You both have to agree. It can be you. I can see where the town board may consent. You're used to these kind of decisions more than they are.
Well.
Then we have to do
the game. We set a public hearing. Then we have a public hearing. We give a recommendation to the town board. The town board then turns around and does their thing, and they have a public hearing.
They do as well.
They also have to assume the role of lead agency, because we, as a board, do not have the authority to grant the PUD. So to be an involved agency in EIF review, we would have to have approval authority, and we do not have that. So that has to rest with the town board.
Yeah, they'd have to assign it to you.
They may not do that. but has to serve them. And if they're going to make a decision before they have their meeting and somebody brings this up? No.
A thought just occurred to me that if we do schedule a public hearing for next month and certain things make you change your mind, we're just canceling. The proposal is pulled. So you're basically, you're not going to have a public hearing, but it isn't like it's going to be postponed until next month.
And I guess, stop me if I'm wrong, I think we would commit to showing up next month regardless, if we have the answers or not, and giving a presentation and working through the remaining items. You know, so that
I expect to have the information by next month. The question is we have information that makes you change your mind before the notifications go out so we don't...
What was the second question you had, John? You said first was the sewer.
First was the sewer, and the second was... the idea of the lot lines, the R1, or where the R1...
I can tell you right now, the zoning district boundary is the zoning district boundary.
Right.
You can't.
So that's not even a question. So basically, the project doesn't fit as proposed within that boundary at this moment.
If it's 250, you better make it 300, maybe. Well, we're going to cross our fingers at 250.
Well, wherever you show me on a stamped survey that zoning district boundary is, that's what I will accept. Whether it's 250 or 300, whatever, the surveyor is going to do a search of the original resolution, I would imagine, and determine where it is.
But they can ask for that to be resolved, too. They can ask for the C3 line to be adjusted. Or
yes, that's what I meant by...
So that's not a kill.
Relatively easy lift, right?
Running the sewer line up from Bluebird Road isn't a killer either, but it's expensive. So that's... But as you're saying, that's actually not town law. It's just...
See, the other thing is, don't you own the three properties that are behind this in front on, what's that other, the opposing street?
Maplewood Parkway,
yeah. So the idea of adjusting that zoning district boundary to the rear property line, you know, you own the property that's the most impacted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got too easy going at the public hearing.
He wouldn't give himself up too much.
Yeah.
Is the church on Maplewood?
Yes.
The parish houses.
The
church.
Your approved subdivision across from that. Is this going to impact that?
He owns the lot.
Those lots that they subdivided?
Yeah. Yeah. Lot, I'll vote for myself.
So, probably going to impact it.
There is one residence there that the church owns.
The church house.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all the technicalities of the zoning aside, which are proposed is a really nice looking project.
What's that?
All the technicalities of the zoning aside, what we propose is a nice project. It's not that we don't like the project, we're just trying to figure out how it fits.
I think I'd rather...
Do you vote for it?
It looks nice.
I tell you, I love institutional 911. Can you bring that in tomorrow? All right, I will copy and give it back.
That's why I was here.
First, I see that.
Exactly. Yep.
So it's 250 feet.
It is 250 feet from, you said, center line of road.
Yep.
And then I think there's a, I could be wrong, but I think the right-of-way is extensive on a state highway.
Probably 60 feet.
Probably at least minimum of 50 feet. So that means you've got 200 feet.
Minus
setbacks.
Yep.
Because the rear lot setback to the residential line still exists.
Correct. So we still get 150. But minus the front setback. So we have a buildable footprint about 100 feet.
Probably pretty quick. Yeah.
So pretty soon. Pretty soon you have a really long building.
Yeah, right.
Not very easy.
From the center of the highway to 250 feet off is the end of the C3 zone district. So it's not the end of our lot since you might.
Yeah, but I can I turn my lot into the C3?
Well, so you have to get the top board.
We actually have to use another application to extend the C3. Across the back.
That's what I was recommending. That would be a good idea. So,
what you say? I mean, it's just that's a logical step for you.
Yeah. So, what do you want to do? You want to.
We'll keep going.
Hold off until December for the public hearing, or you want to try and schedule it for November?
That's up to the board and the applicant.
I think we have what we need. I don't know if the applicant has what they need.
Oh my God.
Maybe some surprises.
I'm actually tonight. You know,
to some extent, if the way we're envisioning is going, we're going to be before the town board, refer back to you guys to set another public hearing. Yeah. No way we will be able to do that in advance of this next public hearing. So if we think it's going to go the way we think it's going to go, we're going to be here for the public hearing in December either way. I'm hoping for a long shot.
And to minimize confusion to the public, which is in your interest, I would structure this so you have both public hearings on one night. Because it has the appearance of being a whole project.
That it gives you time to put together a project that you know what you're doing. There's no questions, there's nothing. So you're presenting a plan instead of a process.
Or a concept, right.
You
would know.
I got to say, I was fairly impressed with the level of detail given it was a PUD request. I mean, you got a four.
So
are we looking at December then?
We probably are.
Tell me where to go, board. No, I won't go there. Tell me.
Well, the question is, do you want to... You probably should schedule if they want to do it in November. You probably should schedule the public hearing just because the doctor could fill up. So if we schedule a public hearing for November, we have plenty of time to not notify if something comes up and it gets canceled. Or not November, excuse me, December. If we schedule for December, it's there at 7:01. Okay. And then if something comes up that makes you say, yeah, no way that's happening, it can be done before notification, and if not, they're first on the agenda in December, no matter what.
You can schedule it now for December. If there's nothing that says we can't say December 20th at 7:01.
Is the applicant okay with that?
Well, you would talk about having to go for another public hearing at the same time.
To schedule the public hearing.
Yeah. I just want to, before we schedule something, there was a discussion about having both public hearings at the same time. So,
yeah, you saw the positive of doing it in December is that you already have the PUD application in. We know we have a public hearing. We have to schedule that. Mm-hmm. If they go the route of a rezoning, and that gets referred to you as well, we could do that at this, on the same night in December.
Okay.
Okay. And that leaves that option open.
Okay. Do we need to have that one before the one I'm proposing, the rezoning before the public hearing for the PUD, or is the rezoning part of the PUD?
As long as it gets down to the end,
7:01 slot open and make this the 7:05 slot.
As long as it gets to the end with the town board,
right.
And they're the ones who have to decide.
Yes.
They do have to hold to a certain order. They would have to do the rezoning request first. If that's successful,
then
you can move on to the PUD.
Right. So then
it could technically be done on the same night, but it would have to be done in that order.
So how about this? I'll make a motion to schedule a public hearing for, what are you guys calling this? I'm sorry, I don't have my agenda up on top.
We're saying the same hall, plumbing and
Jack Hall meeting. Jack Hall Plumbing and Heating?
Yes.
For December, is it the 20th? December 20th at 7:05. That way, if the rezoning one comes in before then, we can schedule that for 7:04 next month, okay, or 7:03 or whatever, so we can have that one first.
So public hearing on December 20th at 7:05 p.m. And then you got a decision to make about what you do with rezoning.
And definitely talk to Carlo about the town about that sewer extension. Because that can get, that might be mildly expensive.
We think it's half a mile, so we're taking
Yeah. No? Okay. See, I've never extended a sewer, so I don't know how much.
I can't believe how easily they're doing that out there now.
Is that the ground here in the town of
the road? With the directional board,
Well, you can do directional bore with that sand, and you don't even have to try. If you're using one hole, you can run that drill.
You see how long that one line is down by the direction?
Oh, yeah, you just got to pull that one right through.
It's as long as the old direction.
No, I live off.
All right, so do we have your consent then to the public hearing on the 20th?
December 20th, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superior, I get a motion to that effect.
We have
a motion, but not a second motion.
By John.
Second.
And I need a second by
Jared.
Motion's been made and seconded to hold a public hearing for Jack Hall Plumbing and Heating on December 20th at 7:45. To the motion. Do I have a second? I think that already shut up. All those in favor, any further discussion?
No.
Not too controversial. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And you've never been involved in a circus like this.
Thank you all.
So if the public votes I can do it, it'll be a good Christmas present. Good to know how that works.
They just get to hear.
You
just get to hear it way in.
You probably shouldn't get your hopes to
sign that and one other member.
It doesn't lead necessarily to great process. It's just it's one step in the process.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Well, should we advise you that it's constructed three for the
meeting?
What's the name?
I need somebody else to sign those flats once Peter goes. I still think that's a good one.
Station there and a bunch of